Greetings to you of grace and mercy and peace on this Good Friday. We are picking up where we left off last Sunday. Last Sunday, Jesus was led to the judgment hall of Caiaphas. For our text today, we'll be in the Gospel of John, and it's the events that followed after Jesus was led out of Caiaphas' palace there. So I will be reading from John chapter 18, beginning with verse 28. You can find that on page 1002 in your pew Bibles. This is quite a long text, so I won't be preaching verse by verse on that, of course. And I also won't ask you to stand, so you won't have to stand for the whole reading. But it is important that we get the whole story. Because it's not often that we do hear the whole crucifixion account. We all know that Jesus died for us. We hear that always. We're always talking about Jesus dying for our sins. But a lot of times we miss all of these details that go along with this. And so I want you guys to follow along with me in your Bibles, and I want you to listen carefully and pay attention to these details, because I won't be going through, as I said, verse by verse. So I want you to hear this. I want us all to hear this on this Good Friday. And so I'll begin reading with verse 28, and then we read through chapter 19. And I do read this in the name of our crucified and thorn-crowned King, Jesus Christ. Then they led Jesus from the house of Caiaphas to the governor's headquarters. It was early morning. They themselves did not enter the governor's headquarters so that they would not be defiled, but could eat the Passover. So Pilate went outside to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered him, "If this man were not doing evil, we would not have delivered him over to you." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." The Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death." This was to fulfill the word that Jesus had spoken to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world." Then Pilate said to him, "So are you a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" After he had said this, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, "I find no guilt in him. But you have a custom that I should release one man for you at the Passover. So do you want me to release to you the King of the Jews?" They cried out again, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. Then Pilate took Jesus and flogged him. And the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. Then they came up to him saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and struck him with their hands. Pilate went out again and said to them, "See, I'm bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no guilt in him." So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him." The Jews answered him, We have a law, and according to that law, he ought to die because he has made himself the Son of God. When Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid. He entered his headquarters again and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate said to him, "You will not speak to me? Do you not know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you?" Jesus answered him, "You would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me over to you has the greater sin." From then on, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, "If you release this man, you are not Caesar's friend. Everyone who makes himself a king opposes Caesar." So when Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judgment seat at a place called the Stone Pavement, and in Aramaic, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of the preparation of the Passover. It was about the sixth hour. He said to the Jews, "Behold your king." They cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." So he delivered him over to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus, and he went out bearing his own cross to the place called the Place of a Skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. So the chief priests and the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write 'the King of the Jews,' but rather, 'This man said, I am the King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be." This was to fulfill the scripture which says, "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." So the soldiers did these things. But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, to fulfill the scripture, "I thirst." A jar full of sour wine stood there. So they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Since it was the day of the preparation, and so that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for the Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. He who saw this has borne witness. His testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, that you also may believe. For these things took place that the scripture might be fulfilled, "Not one of his bones will be broken." And again another scripture says, "They will look on him whom they have pierced." After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took away his body. Nicodemus also, who earlier had come to Jesus by night, came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds in weight. So they took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen clothes with the spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. Now in the place where he was crucified there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. So because of the Jewish day of preparation, since the tomb was close at hand, they laid Jesus there. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we have heard your word today. We pray that you would speak to us today through your word. Sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. So as I said, I'm not going to go through this verse by verse, but I just have basically 3 points I want to make today. The first one is, this happened. The second point that I want to make is that this happened for us. And the third point is that you should believe this. You are called to believe this. And so for the first point then, this is, the first point being this happened. This is a historical reality. This happened at a point in time. You know, this was 1993 years or so, plus or minus. This is part of history. This is real history. The death of Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, he was crucified. Pontius Pilate, he was the governor. He was the governor of the Roman Empire. And he was the one who was in authority, as we read here in our text. And so these things did happen. It's good for us to realize that this isn't just a story. You know, we need to realize that this is history. These are very, very real things. With that, this fulfilled Scripture. This was a fulfillment of Scripture. All of Scripture speaks about this event, this one singular event that happened on this Good Friday. We heard, read for us in the Scripture readings, from the prophet Isaiah, 700 years before. And he said in just such great detail, he explained and told us what exactly was going to happen. In Psalm 22, it's in great detail, it says that the very words that Jesus would say on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Those were penned down hundreds of years before. All of Scripture really kind of turns around this one event. This is really the center of the Scripture. This is all about Jesus. And so this is fulfillment of Scripture. Like it says here that, and we read a few different times, that this happened so that the Scripture would be fulfilled. That Jesus is this Lamb that was going to be slain. The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Jesus was innocent. That's what's shown to us in this trial that's before Pontius Pilate and Caiaphas. He's examined. He's checked to see if he has any guilt in him. Jesus doesn't. Jesus is innocent. And that's especially comforting for us because that shows us that Jesus wasn't there for himself. And if Jesus was innocent, if he wasn't there because of himself, then we ask the question, who was he there for? Why was he there? He was there because of us. And so that is a great comfort. When you think about Jesus' innocence, think about the fact that his innocence tells you that it was for you. It was for you that he did all of these things. Jesus was crucified. Crucifixion was the most disgraceful death that you could die. Three things, I guess you could say, are true about crucifixion. It's gruesome. It's humiliating. And it's public. Crucifixion was the Romans' method of execution for criminals, for the worst class of criminals. In fact, it was even illegal to crucify a Roman. Romans wouldn't crucify themselves. They would only crucify people that weren't from their nation. They would crucify the worst of criminals, and they would be set out in a public way and humiliated and basically set out as an example for the rest of the world, for everyone passing by. Crucifixion was especially offensive to the Jewish people because in Deuteronomy it tells us that cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. They were considered to be cursed by God. And so the fact that God himself comes and he gets hung on a tree. Galatians tells us that he was made to be a curse for us. He was made to be sin for us. And Paul says there that he is made to be a curse for us, so that we could be righteous. He came there to bear all of our sin and to be cursed. And so again, this did happen. All of these things did happen. Jesus suffered. He was mocked. They made fun of him. They blindfolded him. They hit him. They humiliated him in public. They spit in his face. They whipped him. And he even had to watch them gamble over his own clothes. Just think about that. Imagine they're being crucified. They took all your clothes off and you're there naked. And then you get to watch the soldiers gambling for your clothes. Basically, that's telling you that I'm going to be gone soon. And they're going to take all my belongings and they're going to belong to someone else. You know, that was also part of Jesus' suffering. Jesus was thirsty, and they offered him not water, but they offered him sour vinegar. He was falsely sentenced to die. You know, we could all imagine that, being falsely accused for something. That feeling of injustice, actually, that I didn't do this thing. But Jesus, he was sentenced to die, and not only that, he was abandoned. Nobody helped him. He was abandoned by everybody. And especially, he was abandoned by God himself, by his Father, by God the Father. God turned his face away from Jesus, and he left him to be there alone. That's why Jesus cried that, what we call the cry of dereliction, that abandoned, he was abandoned on the cross. And he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? This did happen. Jesus died. His heart stopped. He stopped breathing. And his lifeless body was left hanging on this cross. And he was stabbed by a spear. Spear stabbed into his side. And his blood spilled out on the ground beneath the cross. He was buried. They were told that this man named Joseph and also Nicodemus, they took Jesus' body off the cross, his dead body, and they wrapped it in clothes and got it ready for a burial. And they did, they took his body, his dead, cold body, and they laid it in a nearby tomb. You know, these are things that happened, and we need to hear this. We need to know this. This is reality. This is a historical reality. Then our next point is that this happened for us. There was a reason this happened. This didn't just happen to be a point in history that people could talk about and look at and be interested in or something. This happened for us. And I want to read, I want to reread, actually, some of the verses we already heard today from Isaiah 53. Because it tells us this point of, this happened for us. It says, surely he has borne our griefs. Surely he has carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken and smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. But the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So you ask, why did this happen? This happened for you. This happened because you are a sinner. Jesus is there as an answer for all sin. Jesus is there to be punished for your sin, for my sin, to actually taste death, as Hebrews tells us, for every man, for every person, every human being. Jesus has tasted death. And so I don't know what that means for each one of you today. I suspect you do. As you think through your own life, maybe you examine your own life and your own thoughts and your own heart, and you wonder, like, what kind of a person am I anyway? And no doubt if you do that, you're going to find things that are wrong. You're going to find sin there. That's what Jesus died for. As you consider who you are, that's what he died for. The chastisement of your peace was on him. The Lord laid on him your iniquity. With his stripes, you are healed. Jesus himself said that the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. That's what happened there. That happened for us. We are the sheep, and Jesus is the good shepherd. And as he laid down his life, it said that he gave up his spirit. He laid it down for us so that he could save his sheep. We have redemption through his blood. You know, that blood that we heard about that was spilled on the ground, that came out, and the blood that he shed there, that blood forgave all of our sin, and it still forgives our sin because it's eternal. Because Jesus is eternal. He's God's Son. He is God. And this forgives all of our sins. That event happened for our forgiveness. So all of those sins that maybe you were thinking about and you're wondering that, is it really possible that somebody like me could go to heaven? That I'm a sinner? Yes, it is. You were crucified there on the cross with Jesus. You died there because Jesus died for everybody. So that means that you died there. That your death is in Christ. The death that you deserve, it happened there. It happened in Jesus Christ. And so you are dead with him. And yes, you are alive with him. And we will hear that Sunday, that we are all alive with Christ. We have died with him, and we are also raised up with him. And so Jesus, he does this for each one of us. In Hebrews, it tells us that he died once and for all. And I want to draw your attention to that word, all. That's everybody. You know, I saw a painting of the crucifixion, and there's a lot of artwork on the crucifixion. It's such a beautiful thing to think about. And probably Steve Erickson is perking up at this, because I know he's interested in art. And, well, there's been people that have tried their hand at what they imagine the crucifixion was, and they're all just so nice to look at, because God, I think, reveals different things to different people. But one, especially, that I thought was just so interesting, it was a modern-day artist who did this, and he drew the crucifixion, and he tried to incorporate, like, the whole world, which was really fascinating, because it was like a huge crowd of people at the cross. And if you looked in the crowd, you could see people from like every different era throughout history. It was so interesting. Like, you could see the ancient world and the Egyptians and the, you know, all the different people. And then it like was even had modern day people. You could see there was astronauts and there was just all sorts of different things. And I thought that captures this very well, because this is for the whole world. It was once and it's for all time, actually. This one event stands in power for eternity, and it was for everybody. And so we can look at it the same as if we were there, because this happened for each one of us. And so, yes, this happened for us. And then the last point is that we would believe this. And John tells us this very, very directly in verse 34. Verse 35, he says, "He who saw it has borne witness. His testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, that you also may believe." So that's the point. You know, if you might ask, why are we here? Why are we here on a Friday at church? Why are we here hearing about this story about Jesus dying? And it's for this reason, that you would believe. Your sins are forgiven. Your sins were forgiven on the cross that day. And as I already said, you died with Jesus, and you are raised with him. And so that Jesus is your Passover. It's like the Passover lamb, that they killed the animal so that they wouldn't have to die. Well, Jesus was killed so that death passes over you. And so you will live. His blood was shed so that you can live. And so that's for each one of you today. This is a Good Friday. You know, I understand saying it's a long Friday or a dark Friday. You know, those all are fitting. But this is a Good Friday. Your sins are forgiven. This is good. This is the gospel. This is good news. And so, enjoy. Enjoy your forgiveness. And we look forward to Easter. And we look forward to that great message of resurrection and of life. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we pray? Dear Lord, we're thankful for this message. We're thankful for all that you've done for us in your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.